When David rang me on Thursday afternoon and asked me if I would speak because he was staying in Brisbane because his mum was very ill, my first thought, I have to admit, was from my perspective, not a good week. And my first response, as I said, from my perspective was, this is not a good week, no. And thankfully, I didn't blurt that out, and I thought, from David's perspective, mum's ill, needs to stay there, doesn't need to be thinking about this morning. So I said yes, and then I think the next thing I thought was, God help. David's perspective, my perspective. Can we have, And the next one, thanks. What do you reckon you see there? Yeah. Blobs. Yep. Anything else? Anybody else? Any comments? From your perspective, what can you see? Six sheep with black faces. We have the creative person here. Yeah, I can see that now.
And some yellow flames.
Ah, barbecue. Sheep. Barbecue lamb. Lamb roast. Excellent. And the next one. Can you see that? What can you see there?
A blob of paint.
A blob of paint? Yep. A lady standing in a field. Wow. Any other thoughts? Sorry, there's...
Tornado down the back corner.
Oh, yes, yes, I can see that now that I've got your perspective. Yes. Putty filler. Yep. Yep, I got that, yeah, yep. Any other comments? Yeah. Ah, yes. Yeah, I can see that. Okay, can we have the next slide? Except I forgot a bit. Because to put it all into perspective, eh? So it's not a lamb roast. That's putting it all into perspective. So this bit here and this bit here. Often, life gets pretty chaotic and all we see is the blobs from our perspective. When a couple of you said blobs of paint, I thought, yeah, that's what life can be like at times, particularly when it's chaotic. Life can just look a mess and it doesn't make sense and we wonder what's going on and we haven't a clue. And sometimes we can get a bit lost in that. Right now in Australia has already been mentioned as there's been the bushfires, and back in November we got news that a guy that we grew up with in the little church down in Jordan Street, he was killed fighting the fires back in November, and I remember getting the news and my first response was, God, why? He was living in Gippsland, highly respected guy, and he died doing the right thing. And my question was why? Didn't understand it. Still don't understand it. Because God hasn't answered that question, why? My life experience has been that God very, very rarely answers that question, why? Very rarely. Answers that question. And we can look at the bushfires and we can look at the storms and whatever else is going on and we can get lost in that. We can look at that and go, where's God? What's going on? And we don't see it because we just see the blobs. But God sees the whole picture. God sees from the start of creation to the wedding feast of the Lamb and further. The wedding feast of the Lamb is where we're all going if you know Jesus. we're going to be there. And God sees all of that right through. We only see these little bits, and sometimes we can get lost in that. And I, just as I was preparing this, felt very strongly God gave me this word, perspective. Get the right perspective. For this year, have the right perspective. And then that is that in all things, God knows what's going on. We mightn't, but God does. And if my focus is on God knowing that, then I can have great confidence even though the world might be falling apart around me. I can have confidence in that because I know God loves me. How do I know God loves me? Because Jesus died for me. I can look back to a point in history, a concrete point, not some concept, but a man who came and died for me. And I can have absolute confidence that God loves me. And out of that, knowing that God loves me, I know that he has the right perspective and he sees it all. A few years ago, I've got an underactive thyroid. My doctor is a good Greek doctor, good bloke. And it's in Oakley, right? Surprise, surprise, yeah? So he says to me, Lindsay, I want you to see a specialist to make sure your medication's all right and so on. I said, yeah, that's cool. Where do I go? He says, no, you come here. He said, because we have a lot of Greek patients, there's this, it's known in apparently in with older Greek women that there is a high incidence of thyroid issues. So because he has this cohort, he actually gets the specialist out to come out on a Thursday night and we all rock up and he sees us. And I'm going, wow, that's pretty cool. Don't get that service too often where the specialist comes to you. So I rock up, make the appointment, turn up at 6 o'clock, register at the desk, go and sit in the waiting room. An hour later, I'm still sitting there, and I see this guy that I don't recognise, but I figured he was the specialist, walking out the door, going to his car. So I jump up, go over to the desk, there's a queue at the desk, and by the time I got actually to speak to the receptionist, the guy had got in his car and left. And I said to the receptionist, hi, I'm Lindsay, I was here to see the thyroid specialist. Her reaction was priceless. No! He's gone! Oh, Mr. Coates, really sorry. This is terrible. Just really sorry. And I said, hang on, hang on. Whoa. I said, it's okay. It's okay. Now, I am no saint, right? Do not hear me saying that. But I just got back from Africa. Yeah. There's a couple of people having a bit of a chuckle. Perspective. Right. I said to her, look, this is okay. And she kept apologising. I said, look, it's okay. I just got back from Africa. Trust me, I'm 5 minutes from home. I didn't have to drive into town to the guy's surgery to see him. It's only an hour. In the context of eternity, that's nothing. And in the context of Africa, I can tell you it's nothing. You know, the Africans have this saying, you guys have got watches, but we've got time. And I was absolutely genuine. I was actually a bit surprised that I was so laid back about it. But my experience in Africa had given me a different perception. I'd moved out of my Western way of thinking that time, you know, and if you don't keep an appointment, that's really bad. I had a different perception. And out of that perception came my reaction. Now, the really interesting thing happened after that. I had to go back and see the doc. So I walk in the door, nobody else in the waiting room except the receptionist, who happened to actually be the same lady who was the doctor's wife, incidentally. And she goes, oh, hi, Mr. Coates. And I thought, wow, that's the warmest reception I've ever got at a doctor's. And she said, oh, good to see you. And we started chatting, because there's nobody else there. And she said, and I think I can get away with this because she's Greek, okay? So this was a Greek lady. Important point. She said, Lindsay, you know we missed you for that appointment. I said, yeah. She said, if you're one of our older Greek ladies, you would have screamed at me. And I said, really? Really? She said, yeah. She said, I've had that happen. I said, well, I can tell you again that I was in Africa. That had shaped my perception, and this was no big deal. It really was no big deal. You see, my experience of being in Africa changed me. If we hang around with God, it'll change us. Now, I'm assuming most of you hang around with God. I'm assuming that you, most of you hang around with God, if not all of us. But when we do, that changes us. I'd got a bit lax with hanging around with God. Confession. Now, I'm a counsellor, and I see my counselling supervisor once a month. So he's shifted down to Point Lonsdale, so I have a nice drive down there, sit on the beach, then go and have a chat with him for an hour, then drive back. And this particular day he said, Lindsay, there's something different. And I thought, yeah, I've been hanging around with God. I disciplined myself to get back to hanging around with God. I didn't know the difference. But he noticed it. I've reached retirement age. I know looking at me you wouldn't believe that, but hey. Why are you laughing? In here, there's still a 19-year-old. And a couple of the old blokes are nodding their heads. Seriously, in here there's a 19-year-old. I don't think I've ever grown up, and it actually feels like in here there's a 19-year-old until I go to do something a bit more physical and my body reminds me, nah, you're dreaming, son. But in here there's this 19-year-old that has now reached this transition point, and that's a different perspective. It's a different perspective again. And a way of thinking about this is this bit of rope here has been my life up until now. The green bit is probably what most of us would expect to be our retirement years. So I did a rough bit, you know, 30 years, 30 years, 30 years. So that's probably, you know, my lifespan. But is that the end of it? Well, no. Because the rope goes on. And it goes on. And it goes on. And it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on, and on, and on, and on, and that's all I'd undone off the roll. But if I actually undid the roll, I would go, and I was going to do this, but I won't. I was going to get one of the kids to get the roll and go out the door and probably across the street. Not a good idea? Ah, you spoil all my fun. What do you reckon this bit represents? Yeah, eternity. Eternity. So, looking back, that's the length of my life now, and this is eternity. Which bit do you reckon really matters? The long bit. Looking at it visually, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Yeah. And I would agree with you. And if we have a perspective of eternity, how do you reckon that would change the way we live? So if this is my perspective and that's all I'm thinking about, or even if I take it a bit further, like some of my friends who only thought about the green bit and how much money they'd need for that, and that was what they were living for. Different perspective to if I think about all of this, that this is my future. This is actually my future. I'm going to be with Jesus. I think that's pretty cool. Incidentally, I needed reminding of that this week. Isn't God funny the way he works? Gets Lindsay to prepare a sermon so that he can remind him of this. That we're going to be in eternity with Jesus. And I don't think we're going to be sitting around on a cloud playing a harp. For your sake, I hope I'm not sitting around on a cloud playing a harp. Because you'll be wanting to be in another room in heaven. I was at Rosie's the other night and we're talking about, musical talent. And, the Coates clan has actually got some musical talent. My cousin Arthur was the guy that, was the conductor for the Melbourne Male Voice Choir. Just not there. So I hope for your sake God doesn't have us all playing harps. And I don't think he is. We aren't told a whole lot about heaven and about this bit of the rope. But I don't think we're going to be sitting around doing nothing. We're going to be ruling and reigning with Jesus. And I think that's going to be pretty cool. And maybe I should be putting a bit more effort into thinking about preparing for this bit and how I spend my time now. You know, Jesus actually said something like that. He told this story about a farmer who his ground produced a bumper crop, absolute bumper crop. Has anybody seen the photos from out in Gippsland of where the rain's been? The paddocks have gone from, I don't know, where's something I can use? The paddocks have gone from that, literally that. Where one farmer had, a dairy farmer had said, I don't even know whether my paddocks are going to come back from the drought. They've gone from that to overnight with the rain to lush green. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And Jesus talks about a farmer like that and he says, this guy's paddocks produced great crop. And this guy said, I'm going to harvest the crop, stick it in the barns, the rest of my life is taken care of. Sweet. Don't have to worry. All done. And then Jesus says, one problem, the guy died. And it's as blunt as that, the way Jesus says it in Luke 12, I think it is. This guy was only thinking about that bit and probably the green bit. He wasn't thinking about the rest of it. And if we're thinking about the rest of it, that's actually going to impact how we live day to day. It's going to make a difference. And I'd encourage all of us to maybe take some time in the next week and think about that. Just think, hey, how am I living in the light of eternity? What difference is that going to make? How am I going to live differently? Now, the other thing that I was thinking about or came to mind when I was thinking about talking to you this morning was Habakkuk. And have you ever thought about this book being a collection of stories about people just like you and me and their interaction with God, their experiences of God? Have you ever thought about it that way? Because that's what it is. It's literally a whole bunch of people over a very long time have written down their stories about their interaction with God. And there are people like you and me. I think if you bumped into Habakkuk, He'd just look like you and me. He might be dressed a bit differently, but I think he'd just look like you and me. If you bumped into, I don't know, the Apostle Paul, I think, you know, he'd look like you and me. I don't think he'd stand out from the crowd. Might when he opened his mouth, I don't know about that, but just like you and me. And Habakkuk was just like you and me. And I'm not going to go into the background of Habakkuk. Can I have the next slide up? This is how Habakkuk opens his story, right? This is how he opens his story. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Habakkuk was having a bit of a whinge. Have you ever had a bit of a whinge to God? Yep. That's how he starts his story. Can we have the next slide? This is how he finishes his story. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines. Now I need to, just on this bit, subsistence farming. If your fig tree doesn't bud, you don't get to eat figs, and you can't go down to the supermarket and buy some. And there are no grapes on the vines. So you can't go to the greengrocer in Oakley, rip a greengrocer, and get some grapes. The olive crop fails, no olive oil to cook with, and the fields produce no food. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. What he's just described as a famine. What he's actually just described as a famine. But he says, I will be joyful in God my Saviour. Don't you think that's a bit crazy? At face value, somebody's just described, if there's a famine, I will be joyful in God my Saviour. And he goes on, the Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Can we go back one slide? That's where he started. O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not... He's gone from that perspective of God, you don't care. You don't listen, you're not answering. He goes from that perspective to, and back to the other, to this perspective. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. The difference was, what do you reckon the difference was? Perspective. Yeah. What do you reckon changed his perspective? Something we can do. Time with God. Exactly. The intervening chapters, that's chapter 1 and chapter 3, the intervening chapter is about an interaction with God. He has a very honest interaction with God and God responds. And it changes his perspective. I wonder this morning, given that God has, I'm pretty sure, whether I'm being arrogant in this, but I'm pretty sure that what I'm saying this morning is something that God wanted to share. I'm pretty sure of that. Might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's something that God wanted to share. So I assume that there's somebody here, maybe just one person, that needs to reassess their perspective. I know that it's been helpful for me to prepare this. So maybe it was for me. Maybe it wasn't for you lot at all. Sorry about that. I'm sweet with that if it is, because I've working on my perspective, and my wife will be saying hallelujah. So I'm assuming there is somebody here besides Lindsay. So I just want to pray for you, because sometimes when we're praying like Habakkuk was about God, I cry out, but you don't answer. It can be really, really tough to keep on trying to get into God's presence. If I can, that's terrible the way I've said that. You know what I mean, though. From our perspective, it can be really hard. And sometimes the best thing you can do, actually, is go to somebody else and say, look, I can't pray at the moment. I just can't pray. Will you pray for me? I want to, but I can't. Will you pray for me? One of my Bible lecturers, Les Henson, wrote just this last week that he's, and this guy's been a missionary for 20 years in Irian Jaya, great guy, very godly man. He said, there's been times when I haven't been able to pray or read my Bible. And he said, I kept trying and trying and I just couldn't do it. And then he said, I decided to give up that and go for long walks. And for Les, that worked. He just gave up and he just went for long walks and just left it up to God. And something changed. I'd encourage you, if you're in that dry place of, you know, struggling to read your Bible, struggling to pray, struggling to, maybe with your whole faith, that you just relax and give God some space. Expect him to do something. If you've got somebody you trust, go to them and ask them to pray for you. Maybe ask them to read the Bible to you. Let me pray. Father God, this morning, anything that I've said that is not of you, I ask those words would fall to the ground and not be remembered. And Father, those words that are from you, I ask that they would take root and bear rich fruit for your glory. Father, I pray over anybody here who is in that place who, they're sitting there and they just know, yeah, I need to change my perspective. Lord, I ask that you give them wisdom in how to do that. I ask that you give them strength and courage to do that. And I pray this in the full authority of Jesus. Amen.